Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Are you glad to be in God's house today?
Hallelujah.
I am excited about the Word today.
Yes.
You know, it's not about, you know, it is about Him. It's not about us. And in my life, it's not about what I want. It's about what He wants. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I want. That's what I pray for. That's what I strive for. That I'm surrendered to Him so that He can have what He wants, His way, His will, and His plan. Because you know what? It works out better that way. In fact, it doesn't work out the other way at all. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. So, will you take your Bibles with me this morning? This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
It is the Word of God.
It is the Word of God.
I have what it says I have.
I am what it says I am.
And I will do what it tells me that I am to do. This morning, we'll be taught the infallible, incorruptible, unchangeable Word of God. And now I boldly proclaim, my mind is open, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for your presence in our lives and for your leading us and guiding us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us to be able to listen to you, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit in our lives, showing us what is from you and what is not from you, Lord. We receive from you today with open hearts, Lord. We've already made the declaration. Now, Lord, have your way. Touch lives, change lives, edify, exhort, comfort, build up, and lift up today in Jesus' name. As we come into your presence and give you praise and honor and thanksgiving and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning, Lord, we afresh and anew rededicate our lives to you, Lord. With all of our heart, Lord, we want to serve you. We want to be pleasing to you. We want to be vessels of gold and honor for your use. We love you, Lord. It's you we long for. It's you we need, Lord. This morning, Lord, we surrender every thought, all we are, Lord, to you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, that you, by your word and by the Holy Spirit, bring change, cause enlightenment, illumination, truth to be revealed, because you are truth. And for this morning, we thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, once again, I yield myself to you. Hide me behind the cross, Lord. Use me, Lord. Touch my lips with a coal from off the altar of God to bring forth your word. And, Lord, let your word be seed. Because, well, we thank you that it is seed that's planted in the heart. And it brings forth fruit in its season. It accomplishes what it's sent to do. Because of you, Lord, we give you praise and honor and glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I got to tell you, I am pleasantly surprised with what I heard this morning. I don't know where these ladies been hiding, but that was great. Hallelujah, that sounded wonderful. Praise the Lord. Y'all did a good job. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. I had some specific direction yesterday. You know, in fact, since Friday. But when I went to bed last night, I went to bed knowing that it was not all God had. I had a lot of scriptures down, but I knew there was something missing. So I just went to bed, slept on it, got up early this morning, and as I woke up, immediately God began to speak to me and put the thoughts, His intents and His thoughts in my heart, and basically pulled this thing together. And I pray that you will receive this today just as I receive it, and I need to receive it just like everybody else. It's not, I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. It's insight and instruction, and it's just good. Praise the Lord.
So we've already made the declaration, so you're hooked, that we're going to be changed by the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. And that we know that God's Word never changes. It's infallible, incorruptible, and unchangeable. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19. Well, stand with me just till while we read these two verses, and we'll get on with what God has today. Amen. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. You may have a seat. Praise the Lord. Now, one of the thoughts that struck me this morning, I was never in the military, but I was as close as you can get without being in the military. We'll talk about that some other time. When you join the military, you no longer have a say. For those of you who are in the military, you can confirm this. You no longer have a say in what you do or what you want to do. Amen. Listen carefully now. Some people don't understand this. You belong to the United States government, and you become property of the United States government. Amen. And you have some obligations and some things that you must do, and be careful that you don't do. I've been told that you can be prosecuted for foolishly hurting yourself because you've damaged government property. You're not your own. Pardon me?
Even a sunburn.
Yes. Amen?
Rendering yourself unfit for duty.
There you go. There you go. See, I got some people who are in the know here. Now, however, when you yield yourself to God, you become His.
Amen.
But that is as a family member, not an organization member. Amen? You become heirs and joint heirs and children of God, sons and daughters of God. Amen?
Amen?
But the same principle applies. It's not what you want. It's not what pleases you, unless we look at it from the avenue that pleasing you is pleasing the Father, then you're okay. Amen? When I stand up here, when anybody who's in any kind of ministry, whether it's music, preaching, teaching, or whatever, it's not about what we want or what we think is great. Our obligation is to go to the Father, just like a soldier goes to his sergeant or his company commander or brigade commander, battalion commander, whatever it is. What are your orders today? And that's our obligation, is to go to him and find out, what is it that you want from me today? What is it that I need to do for you today? Amen? And the difference is, you don't feel the pressure of going to the stockade if you miss it. Although, you should have the same tenacity in what you do for the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought? The military didn't pay anything for you. You volunteered. God paid a great price for you, and then you surrendered to Him. Amen? You were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? Now, John 3:30, John the Baptist is speaking as he sees Jesus coming and says, He must increase and I must decrease. Okay? Galatians 2:20 says, you know what that basically means is the fact that we have to come to the place, our wants, our desires, the things that we, the way we want to do things based on either our experience or our training or our talents has no bearing on it. God will take what is surrendered to Him and use that. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have a say in it other than to say, Lord, I surrender to You. Amen? By an act of Your will. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Right.
So he's already set the example for us. He's already given his life to be used however the Father wants to use it, and he's given it to us. What would be the reciprocal obligation? That's right. Amen. Just like when my children were little. When my children came into the world, like many of you, probably all of you, you turn around and you gave them back to the Lord. Realize they were a gift from God and you gave them back to the Lord. Understanding the obligation was you bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and you trust God because you really don't know what you're doing. Amen? Amen. I heard one amen anyway. So people can identify with that. Listen carefully. The word crucified in Galatians 2:20, to crucify alone with is the meaning. The death of Christ on the cross has performed the extinction of our former corruption by the death of Christ. Did you get that? If something's extinct, it no longer exists. Amen? B, that was A. B is, upon the cross, I have become utterly estranged from or become dead to my former habit of feeling and action. Did y'all get that? Then that word live means, so here's what it's saying. It says, I have seen and experienced the extinction of my former corruption by the death of Christ, and I've become estranged and become dead to my former habits of feelings and actions. Nevertheless, I live. What does that mean, live? I enjoy real life now. I have true life that is worthy of the name. Fresh, strong, and efficient. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is good stuff. That word lives in that scripture in Galatians 2:20, or liveth, is the same as live. So the definition I just gave you is the same thing. We must be and make ourselves humble. Humble, what does that mean? That means that we're not weak, but we're humble in the respect that we serve God, we want to do what God wants us to do, and in that, the same way Christ and the Father deal with us by the Holy Spirit, that's the way we deal with other people and with situations in our lives. Amen? Not with arrogance, not with an iron fist. God does a real good job of chasing us, doesn't he? And if we're in tune with the Spirit, the minute something happens, we say something or we do something, we're convicted in our hearts. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit's faithful to come and say, oops, hold on here a minute. Hold on here a minute. And then we begin to examine ourselves. Amen? Okay? There are consequences for lack of or refusal to be humble or to walk in humility. In Exodus 10:3, we see what happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh refused to humble himself at Moses' request, because God requested it, to release Israel, and brought plagues on his own land and people, his own family. Amen?
Right.
Now, on the other hand, the Scripture says in Numbers 12:3 that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. Don't look it up. Go ahead. That sounds a lot like Jesus, doesn't it? Made himself of no reputation, the Bible says. Amen? Psalm 18:27, God saves the humble but brings down the haughty. Haughty means the one who exalts or magnifies him or herself. Psalm 147:6 says, "The Lord lifts up the humble, but he casts down the wicked, proud to the ground." Wicked and proud to the underground, to the ground. Proverbs 6:2 says, "You are snared by the words of your mouth, and you are taken by the words of your mouth." That word snare means that you are entrapped. You've set a trap for yourself by the words of your mouth. And that word taken means that you have been caught or taken by those words. You're caught by those words. That's why we have to be slow to speak. Amen? We have to be slow to speak. We need to think about what we say and what we do and how we do it. God uses talents and abilities that we all have. God uses the wisdom that he gave us, but it has to be surrendered to him for it to be effective. Amen? Do you understand? Do we all agree? Luke 6:45 says, "A good man out of the good treasure or storehouse of his heart," which means soul, "a good man out of the good storehouse of his soul brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his soul brings forth evil. For out of the abundance," and that means the delights or what fills our heart or our soul, "our mouth speaks." Sometimes we need to put a guard on our mouth. Sometimes we need to be like the three monkeys. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Amen? That's why we're supposed to be slow to speak and quick to hear. Amen? When this is going, when you don't surrender to him, then chances are you're going to, even though you may be on the right track, you're going to be out ahead of him. And we don't want to be there. I've maintained for almost all my Christian life, I'd rather be two steps behind him than one step in front of him. Because if I am, I'm in the wrong place. And usually it ends up causing harm someplace, either to myself or others. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? I'm going to give you some scriptures. We're just going to read them. We've got the time. First in Proverbs 11, verses 2 and 3. "When pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them." I don't know of a person in this room who doesn't want to and who hasn't surrendered their lives to God, to be used by God in the way that he wants to be used, to accomplish what God wants. First of all, in our own house, in our own front yard, and then in the surrounding areas, and then wherever else God brings people in or takes us to. Amen? Remember how you spell joy? Jesus and others and you. That's how you spell joy. Did you ever notice how you come last? Did you ever notice that? The Y doesn't come before the J or the O. It's Jesus and others and you. Amen? Hallelujah. That comes back from my Sunday school days when I was about this big. Proverbs 16:19. "It's better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud." Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Proverbs 29:23. See, we need to be of a broken and contrite spirit or heart. Amen? He's the one who needs to be at the forefront, not us. I don't care what you do for a secular job. I don't care what you do in the church, what your ministry is, what your calling is. He's the one that needs to be seen, not you and I. Amen? Your Bible says, and it's the same thing as mine, that if he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Amen? Not if I'm lifted up. See, the problem we have is sometimes people get in a place, I've known preachers like this, I've known people like this, that we get thinking we're so important in God's eyes that we forget who we are. We forget what manner of man we are. We're not going to go there and talk about that today. It's like looking in that mirror and then walking away and forgetting immediately what kind of a person we were. Forgetting what God took us out of and realizing we didn't do it of our own power or volition. God did it. Amen? Yeah. Bless our darn hearts and mixed up minds. Romans 12:16-21. Romans 12:16 through 21. Is this blessing anybody yet? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, am I in the right place? No, I'm not. Excuse me? Where did I say? Romans 12. I apologize if I said something different. I got the wrong place. Romans 12, 16 through 21. Okay, here we go. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Let me go back. It says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. To do that, you got to be humble, don't you? You got to force yourself to humble yourself. Amen? If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Your Bible says that if all you're given is a cup of cold water, is all that God requires of you. Amen? To whom much is given, much is required. Amen? We're held accountable for what, and it's part of stewardship. For what God gives us. And that means in every point of our walk with Him. That's not just talking about ministry. That's talking about the things like family, children, the people we are around on the job. Those are things God's given us. Those are responsibilities we have. Amen? Praise the Lord. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on His head. Whose head? Your enemy. In other words, I guess my mama would have said, you'll take the wind out of their sail. Instead of coming after you, they're going to have to stop and say, wait a minute here. This does not compute. I was just reminded of the young man I told you about that through my high school years, I carried my Bible, I lived what I believed the way God wanted me to live, and made it very clear who I belonged to, who I served. And it wasn't until I don't know how many years later I was in a Christian bookstore. And this young man comes up to me and he said, you know, we're looking at each other, and I know you. I couldn't remember his name, so I wasn't going to say anything to him, you know, but I recognized him, you know. He came up to me and he's reminded me who he was, Paul Robles. And he told me, I despised you when you were in high school. I despised everything you represented. But because, now listen carefully, folks. Because it's not me. It's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. And he said, because of you, I'm serving God today. He was a pastor. You just keep on doing what you know to do, and you don't know what God's going to do. Amen. You don't have a clue. It's like those chocolate chip cookies. God's got a plan. And it doesn't make any difference what the policies and procedures are. He knows the heart. And if you walk in faith or you make a statement to Him, you think God's going to prove to you that, or not prove to you that He's real? You say, God, if you're real, I want chocolate chip cookies. See, I remember the story of Bob Romero. Some of you might gasp at this, but you got to be obedient to the Spirit of God, not based on what you think is right, but what God tells you to do, even if your brain goes, what did he say? They were down, I believe it was in Cozumel, wasn't it? Stan walks into a cigar store and buys Bob a cigar. Bob used to love cigars. And do you know by that very act, that's what one of the final straws that caused him to turn his life over to God and stop being cantankerous and is now part of the family of God.
What was that, Harry? I have had a comment, but I'm not going to go there. My thought was, it's kind of, never mind. Ask me after service. Anyway, where were we? Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let me make a note, or let me just give something to you. Your Bible says, and my Bible says, nothing in and of itself is evil. It says, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. What does that mean? See, if God looks at the heart, it's the heart that God is looking at and where God judges whether something is evil or good. A symbol is not evil. It can be if it's used in the wrong way for the wrong purpose. Do you hear what I'm saying? Just like I remember Kenneth Hagin saying one time, you know, there are some folks who are so staunch and so religious that they think even... Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying what he said. That, you know, they get so religious that they think even makeup is wrong. And I love what Kenneth Hagin said. He said, if the old barn needs painting, then paint it. Amen? Now... I'm not going there with you. But here's the thing, though. Understand that when you do what you do as far as makeup or something, you're not doing that for people out there. That should be done for the one you love. Amen? For your husband. And for your own... There you go. Yeah, I'll take that. Amen? I think we'll let that go right there. James 4, 6 and 10. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 10. If you all are having as much fun receiving this as I am preaching it, then we're having a good day. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then in verse 10, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Amen. I don't care if you're the greatest, whatever it is you want to call yourself, that ever walked. I won't dispute that with you. It's not my place. But you remember, what you are and what you have is because of what God has placed in you, the way He created you. Amen? We all have gifts and talents. They're not always the same. They vary. And our ability to use them varies. But if it's surrendered to God, it's always going to come out right. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. That means one who was of age. Yes, all of you, be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. Oh, now that's something we don't like, do we? In many ways, we want to be like Frank Sinatra and go around maybe not singing it, but acting like it. We might as well sing it because we act this way. I did it my way. Oh, man. And I would ask you, how much good has been done in the kingdom by doing it your way? Now, Scripture says His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I don't have enough wisdom in me to be able to accomplish anything. But with God's wisdom in me and being surrendered to Him, I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. Amen? And you can do it because He strengthens you. Praise the Lord. All of you be submissive one to another and be clothed with humility. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. See, it's not that you don't make a mistake. And it's not my place or your place to point out somebody's mistakes. It's your place and my place to be humble and let God do the chastening. Amen? If there's chastening that's necessary. Amen? Grace is unmerited favor. But you know how fast grace and that unmerited favor comes? As fast as you say, Father, I'm sorry. I got a little ahead of myself. I made a mistake, and I'm sorry. That's that broken and contrite spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. Love never considers a suffered wrong. Never. That goes back again to looking in that mirror and realizing what kind of person you were without God and what God's done in your life. And I don't care if you're absolutely right in your feelings. I don't care if you're justified. You better remember what the Scripture says. Because it's not your place. Because you don't see the heart. Now there are some things that will reveal what's in the heart according to Scripture. But you and I don't have the ability to know what's in the heart except through what the Scripture says. That's the words and actions that come out of our mouths and our lifestyle. Amen? That doesn't mean we have the ability to judge, because we don't see the beginning from the end, and we're not the beginning and the end like He is. Amen? He's the Alpha and the Omega, not us. Praise You, Lord. Casting all your care on Him because He cares for you. Turn with me to Proverbs 15:33, please. Proverbs 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. That word humility means meekness. And I looked up in Webster's dictionary what meekness means. Enduring an injury with patience, without resentment. That sounds like 1 Corinthians 13 that says, love never considers a suffered wrong. Love never seeks its own way or its own will. Amen? Proverbs 15:33, excuse me, says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. King James, it says, he talks about humility, which is meekness or enduring injury with patience and without resentment. And before honor is humility. Amen? Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:12. Proverbs 18:12. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty. Before honor is humility. Before destruction, the heart or the soul of man is haughty. That's the opposite of humble. The enemy must be upset.
Keep preaching. Hallelujah.
Amen. Anyway, Proverbs 18:12. It says, before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Okay, Holy Spirit, I trust You to bring me back to my thought. I remember when Stan preached one time and talked about in fact, I can't remember what the message was, but it basically came down to this. A person who is humble and who's contrite with the Lord is one who will say, whether they are guilty or not, in other words, even if it's not their fault or they're not the perpetrator, stand and say, I'm sorry, it's my fault. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're supposed to be emissaries of peace. Amen? And I know in my life, when I start to get upset about something that somebody has done to me, or somebody has said to me, or if I get the feeling that I've been mistreated, then that's when I start to get the hackles up, and that's when I need to go back and I thank God for the Holy Spirit that reminds me where I came from, and realize that it's all under the blood. God's got it fixed. Let me just remind you this. When you take things into your own hands, that's when you get yourself in trouble. And that's when you make the wrong decision. And not only that, when you do that, you tie God's hands. It's the same thing as forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying, I forgive you. Forgiveness is, Father, I release the situation and the individuals or the circumstances into your hands. Casting your care on Him. Amen? And when you do that, what you do is you give Him free ability. Because you're not usurping His authority in His place. To make the restitution that's necessary and to do the work in the heart. You and I can't do it because we're not the Holy Spirit. Amen? We've got to consider our ways. We've got to realize the things in our life that we need to deal with. Amen? And you know, even though this old flesh sometimes wants to believe, hey, I'm pretty good, I got it down, God reminds me every day because I realize who I am. And you too, where I came from, and that I need Him desperately. I have not arrived. Left to my own devices, I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to do the wrong thing. Amen? When I come here, I don't come here and tell you what I want to tell you. I spend time with God. God, what do you have for your people? What is your will? What is it that you want them to know? You understand? That's part of being crucified with Christ and letting Him live. Amen? It's not about me. It's about you. That's the attitude we need to take with everybody we meet. Every time we get in His presence, it's not about me. It's about you. Amen? We weren't put here for ourselves. We were put here for one another to accomplish the will of God. Amen? Luke 1:52. Luke chapter 1. Verse 52. That means in ministry, I can't come here and just say, okay, I think today I will. No. I've been there, done that, tried that, and watched it flop in my face, and I don't like it. I don't like the feeling that it leaves, so I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to. Someday when I get it right, then we'll talk. But I haven't got it right yet. I'm in the process, but I'm not there yet. Luke chapter 1, verse 52. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. See, we need to always remember that if you seek to keep your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for His sake, you'll gain it. Amen? And one of the things I know is that even in an accusation, I don't have to try to defend myself. Amen? I don't have to try to defend myself. Who is your defender? Is it you? I want to be God. If you are your own defender, then maybe, it might be time to spend some time in the presence of God and realize that if God's for you, who can be against you? And even if there is a rift, it's not personal. Amen? It's not personal. Amen? Philippians 2, 1 through 15. Just a couple more here and we will close. Philippians 2, 1 through 15. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for only his Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Now, I want you to consider that for just a moment. Are we not created and formed in the image and likeness of God? Has He not, by the Holy Spirit and the work on the cross, given us back dominion and empowered us to do things in His name and even greater things? It doesn't mean we are God, but it means we're like God. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't want you all stoning me for heresy. But sometimes we don't see things correctly. We get caught up in religion. Oh, blasphemy. Oh. No. No. The person who wrote this said he didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God. But you see, in that, there's humility, understanding, first of all, who He is, where He came from, and most importantly, what God has accomplished in His life, and for what reason. Not so you and I can get the big head, or so He can get the big head, but so He can work the works of God and see God's power flow and transform lives. That's that whole coals of fire, hot coals of fire, that are heaped on somebody else's head. Not by pointing a finger, not by saying whatever, pointing a finger of accusation or something like that. It's by humility. Amen? But made Himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself. Didn't Jesus humble Himself? If He set the example, are we to do any less? Do we have a right to do any less? And became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and given Him the name which is above every name. That's why at the name of Jesus and the character in that name, what are we talking about character? The character of obeying God even to our own demise, knowing that we have a greater reward. He must increase and we must decrease. Yes, praise You, Lord. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you. See, He tells you work out it, but then He tells you you're not working by yourself. Both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as the light, shine as lights in the world. Proverbs 4, 23 through 27. Praise You, Lord. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. I shared not too long ago about that group that came into the high school. Again, the question is not whether they were saved. The question is, did they emanate? Did they show that change in their life? And did they exalt God in what they did? And the answer was a resounding no. Now, I'm not passing judgment on them. I'm telling you what people who were non-believers came and said afterwards. I think I shared that with you not too long ago. And as a result, they closed because of their actions. It wasn't that they were doing the wrong thing. It was that they didn't consider what God wanted and didn't get in His presence. I understand zeal better than anybody. When I first got saved and filled the Holy Spirit, man, I was going to set the world on fire. Unfortunately, it wasn't the fire of God. You understand what I'm saying? God had to temper me. He had to run me through the fire many times. Start pulling out the garbage, the impurities that brought me to the place where I am today. And I have not arrived. I still have a long, long way to go. But it's that surrendering your life to Him, your thoughts, your actions and deeds, and not moving without saying, God, what do you want? Just like Nehemiah, when the king asked him, what do you want? And Nehemiah said, let me go find out what I want. And he went to God. God, what do I want? Or what is your will? And God told him. Not only did it get accomplished, but God put the fund, brought the funds in to do it because of the obedience of Nehemiah through the very government. Amen? Through that government. When we do it His way, God provides everything that's necessary. Amen? Hallelujah. Let all your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. And finally, if you want to just write this down, you don't have to turn to it. Unless you want to, James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. So then, my beloved brethren,